The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I'm an intuitive. I can see everything and make connections. I say, give me any three things and I will put them in. I once taught, and I had stuff out of order, and I taught the whole thing and showed how it made sense and said, "Oh, it's out of order." Went back, reordered, then made sense that way. So I'm not really great at critical thing. I'm not a detective at all. And so I'm embarrassed to admit, for the first time in all these years as a priest, I realized that what we just read doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. What do y'all think happens when you die? And not give me the answer you know that you're supposed to give me. Don't you believe when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Is that not what everybody believes? Is that not what they say in the movies? Right? When you die, and what leaves? Your what? Your soul. Your soul's going to heaven. We tell, and have any of you ever heard anybody say, "Well, they're an angel now." Ever heard that one? "They're an angel now." We believe that. I don't care what the church teaches. I don't care what I teach. I've been here 23 years teaching the same thing. And every time I'm in a class, it's like it comes back. Well, when you die, your soul goes to heaven and everything's going to be fine and it's going to be great. And that's the goal. And we're going to live happily ever after. So we believe that when people die, their souls leave their bodies. Now, if the bodies don't leave real well, they become a ghost. Now, I did some research. 60% of Americans have had an experience with a ghost. And 80% of elderly people who have lost a spouse have had an interaction with them. Now, the scientific journal calls it a made-up thing. It's not really real because there's just no way we can trust that one. But the reality is, that's what most people believe. What most people believe is there's a spirit world, and when we die, we go into the spirit world. And I know some of you are getting nervous about this. Now, let's talk about the ancient world. What did they believe? Well, they basically believe the same thing as we do. Now, more and more people believe when you die, you just disappear, right? Annihilation. There's nothing. When you die, there's nothing. And in the ancient world, there's a lot of people who believe that. Lots of people believed when you died, there was nothing. Another group of people believed that when you died, your spirit went to some afterlife place where it lived in this kind of blah state of grayness. And then over time they decided, well, life's not fair, so if that ends up happening, that's not fair. So more and more people thought, well, some people go to a happy place and some people go to a sad place. Does that sound remarkably similar to what we believe? And let me tell you what the Greeks thought. They thought the soul wanted to escape the body, because the body was bad. It was a container. It was messed up. And you wanted the pure soul, which they believed was immortal. Have you ever heard the expression, the immortality of the soul? Do you have any friends who say they're spiritual but not religious? Spiritual, not religious, means they're not tied up with the body. Watch them eat. They're not tied up with the body. Look at their car they drive around. They're not tied up with the body. Look at their house. They ain't tied up with the body. They're just in the spirit realm. But in the ancient world, there's a lot of people who adopted that. And if you looked at their house and what they didn't eat and how they lived, you would say they're very spiritual. So the Greek world viewed resurrection as nasty. The only people who believed in resurrection were the Pharisees. Sadducees thought you just got annihilated. Pharisees believed in resurrection, but when was it going to happen? At the end of time, people would be raised up. And the Sadducees were going, no, and that's how Paul would give them the fight. And the Greeks were going, oh, that is disgusting, getting back into the body. Now I'm going back to my initial statement. The ending of the gospel absolutely makes no sense at all, because no one is looking for a body to come back to life. Not the pagans, not the Jews, nobody. And the last thing they thought a body was going to do is rise up and appear to a woman. Because women in society did not have the place of being a witness. Have any of you ever needed a character witness? I mean, have you ever had to get... Do you go to a kindergartner and say, well, here's a bunch of six-year-olds. They know what a great guy I am. Bring them in. Why don't we ask six-year-olds to be character witnesses? It's not because children aren't much better at figuring out who good people are and bad people are. It's because in our society, they can't be witnesses, right? Or you wouldn't go to a dementia ward and say, these people can tell you, even though many of them may be able to say, yes, this is a good person. But in our society, you don't do that. And there's any number of kinds of people who we don't allow to be witnesses. Every culture has it. In the ancient culture, women were not considered to be good witnesses. Now, does anybody remember who Paul identifies as witnesses of the resurrection? He starts with Peter. Anyone missing there? Mary Magdalene. You know what else St. Paul does not mention anywhere in his letters? An empty tomb. Nowhere. Nor does Peter in his letters, nor does Jude, nor does John. And that's because the empty tomb and Mary are not proof of the resurrection. The only reason they're there is because that's what happened. Now, I'm only speaking from a historical and a psychological perspective. There may be some other perspective. But historically, it makes no sense to write a story, and this is for people who say they made it up. If you're making up a story, like if you're trying to explain to your boss why you're late for work, you don't say, a wolf ate my car. Unless if you can show them the visual evidence of the wolf eating your car, because people just aren't going to buy that. Why did they say that these women came to an empty tomb and the body was missing? No one would have said, oh, he must have rose from the dead, because no one thought that, or no one liked the idea. Are you with me? So there's only one thing we can do with this story. Marvel at it. We can marvel at it. And we can ask the question, what does it mean? Now, I'm not going to be as certain on that. The beginning, I'm very certain on. I'll argue that with anyone in the world. What it means, this is what I think. I could be wrong on this. Number one, I think it means, I could be wrong, but I think it means human bodies matter a lot to God. That human bodies are really important, that who we are and what we are is a physical as well as a spiritual being. So if you're one of those people who are real spiritual, get back in your body. You ain't an angel. You were never meant to be an angel. And for what it's worth, one of the reasons why the early church says the angels had a rebellion is because they couldn't countenance human beings being the image of God. So be spiritual all you want, but make sure you're also material. Don't denigrate the material. And what that means from my perspective is sacramental Christianity is right. The Bible's the word of God, inspired by God. It is authoritative. The Eucharist is inspired by God. It's authoritative. Baptism is inspired by God. It's authoritative. Anointing the sick with oil, it's in the Bible. We should do it. The sacraments, the seven sacraments we celebrate in the primary sacrament, which we are, which is the church, the body of Christ, his spirit within us. If you don't understand the church is the body of Christ, you'll say foolish things like, I can go in the woods and feel closer to God. You can say, I don't really know to go, need to go to church. You can say all those things because all you're doing is being spiritual. But you're denigrating, I think, the primary message of today's gospel. It would have been a much more reasonable story to say after Jesus died, he left the cross, went to heaven, and then he appeared to the apostles. Because that's what we expect. And that's what most people experience. That tons of people have experiences with dead people. And I know people have had experiences. I know people have been sitting in church, saw someone come in late, and start walking up the aisle and turn and think, what are they doing? And watch them walk right up through the aisle. And as they turn and look, it was somebody had been buried in the church the week before. Walking with a dude with long hair who they assumed was Jesus. That's the kind of ending we should have for the gospel. After Jesus died, he appeared to the apostles. Why is the body missing? And it's because the body matters. Second of all, society does not dictate who's in power. God doesn't care. And so if he decides that the first one to see Jesus is a woman, tough for you. If you don't like it, tough for you. I don't care. Which explains why the question many of you have asked, and I've asked too, why didn't he have him go appear to Pontius Pilate? Why didn't he have Jesus go? Wouldn't that have been much more impressive? Well, check out yesterday's sermon about how God wins versus how we win. He's not interested in how we play the game. He will appear to whoever he wants to appear. And he has no respecter of human authorities and human hierarchies and all that. So he is a God who loves bodies and loves everybody's. And he really loves the nobodies. And so that's why we gather tonight to celebrate. And if you're one of those people who feels like you're nobody or nothing, you're number one for him. You're number one for him. And if you're one of those people who doesn't understand all the struggles of life and the sufferings of life, he will redeem everything. And not just in some spiritual way. This body that's suffered, this body that's experienced loss, this body that's received all sorts of, you know, like he's talking about living through what he lived through and living what a lot of you lived through. This body, this person, he's going to raise up to live with him forever. And we're going to be one together in Jesus. So that's why we said alleluia. And we can say it again. Alleluia. Our first